Do you find yourself on an emotional roller coaster right now? Maybe everything is a whirlwind in your life. Are your mood swings all over the place and you're just feeling like you're going nowhere fast? In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about how you can cope with the loss of self. Because the reality is, when you're transforming from an unhealthy relationship with food and you're starting to learn new ways and new principles, you're gonna have to release and you're gonna have to experience new freedom in who you are, in your actual identity. Today's show, we're gonna be talking about the 5 stages that you must go through to do this. It's spring, sis, and we are going out with the old and in with the new. I can't wait for you to listen to this one. Hey girl, welcome to the Her Best Self podcast. I'm Lindsay Nichol, former competitive figure skater and perfectionist, turned God-led imperfect boy mom and digital CEO. If you find yourself constantly thinking about food and wondering if you'll wake up one day free from the obsessive thoughts and behaviors controlling your life, then I've created this podcast for you because I know exactly what it's like to be a downright hot mess trapped in the destructive cycle of disordered eating. I finally found freedom and you can too, girlfriend. So if you're ready to heal your relationship with food and body and break the chains of control and show up in your best health, then grab your favorite Tarjay journal and let's get to it so you can start living your best life as your best self. I hope you had such an amazing Easter, and I hope you got to spend some lovely time with your family or your friends. In today's show, I want to talk with you about this whirlwind of emotions because so many of my clients not only are going through it right now, but I went through it in my own recovery journey. The extreme ups and downs, the all over the place, the moods. This is a state of new feelings, and it's a good thing, but it can feel so crazy when you're living in it. So if you find yourself on an emotional roller coaster lately, and you're tired of that feeling, you feel like you want out of it, you want freedom from this crazy disaster of a disorder, but you're just not sure of the right next step, today's show is for you because you have to go through these 5 different stages in order to truly cope, in order to truly process and find a new way out and find a new level of healing. I wanted to start today's episode. I've been getting many inquiries lately about one-on-one private coaching, and I would absolutely love to work with you. If you're looking for more support because you know you can't do this alone anymore and you're tired of struggling by yourself, you're tired of trying to do it alone, I want you to come on out to the website, herbestself.co. You can find us there. You can fill out a client application that is on the website, and you can actually schedule some time on the calendar as well. I also have my lovely coach, Caitlin, out there that's available for inquiries too, so you can shoot her an email. But sis, we would love to talk with you. We would love to share and experience the journey that you're on. We'd love to hear about your story, hear about your life, meet you, impact you, shine love and inspiration into your journey. And right now, I have a very limited availability, and we are going on a wait list. So if you are looking for personalized support, don't wait another day. Go on out to the website. Check us out. Okay, let's get to the good stuff. Today, we're talking about coping with the loss of self. This can sound a little bit odd. It's like, what do you mean the loss of self? Like, I am who I am. But the problem with this is that we have to cope with the loss of who you were in the disorder. And I often hear from my clients, this is just who I am. Or I've never really been a bread eater. Or I'm not the type of person that enjoys sweets. Sis, let me give you some real raw truth. Your eating disorder, that voice inside of your head, she's not the type of person that's a bread eater. She's not the type of person that enjoys sweets. And I'm not saying you have to enjoy sweets to live a freedom and lovely life. That's not what I'm saying. But in order to go out with the old, in with the new, and to really truly create the best version of you, you have to get real with the fact that you've been living under this lie. You haven't allowed to give yourself permission to enjoy these things or to even know if you prefer certain things or like certain things because you've restricted yourself from them for so long. And so the disorder actually owns that part of you. It's this blending of identity. And when clients come to me, sometimes they're not aware of this. And I have to point this out through our sessions with them. And we have to work to shed this former self so that we can truly build on our best self. First, I want you to really think about coping with the loss of who you were in the disorder. Because sis, it's not going to be who you are on the other side. In order to find freedom, you must move from the valley of denial to the hilltops of acceptance. And typically true transformation doesn't happen overnight, but the emotional roller coaster that you face can feel like it hits you overnight. For years, your disorder has become who you are. It's become your shell. It's become your safe place, your haven, your cave, your retreat, where you can control. So much so that maybe you struggle imagining your life without it. I mean, who would you be if you didn't read labels, or you didn't count calories, or you actually didn't care what the number on the scale said, or you weren't bargaining in your mind all day long? When you realize that you want out, when you really want out, you graduate into this pathway of emotional overload avenue. If you've struggled for years, you've masked your emotions with your disorder. When you want out, you start realizing that you aren't the disorder. It's separate from you. It's not who you are. I want you to think about it like a relationship. I don't know about you, but I had a terrifying high school relationship. And it did so much trauma and damage on me, honestly, when it came to setting me up for marriage and commitment and all of that. But I had this guy I was dating in high school, and he was very, very controlling. And maybe you've been in a relationship like that too. And I wanted out so bad, but part of me, because he was my first love, felt super chained to that. I felt wrong for wanting out. It was this dysfunction. Some days I would feel super in love with him, like I couldn't live without him. And other days I would feel like I just wanted to break free of it and never even know that he existed. Sis, that's what an eating disorder does to your mind. It's this unhealthy, controlling boyfriend that sits there telling you that one day you're perfect and you're doing all the right things and he's so in love with you. And then the next day, a conniving, overwhelming, manipulative game. The truth is, you have to break free from that. And I had to break free from that. And it really was one of the hardest things because my identity was in this relationship all through high school, in this relationship with this person who was teaching me all the wrong ways of honoring myself and loving myself. But because I was so in love with him, I put myself last. Because you're so entrenched in the disorder, you're putting yourself last. Maybe you don't even know who you are anymore or things that you enjoy because you haven't allowed yourself to go there. You're going to go through phases of grief. You're going to go through phases of loss. You're going to go through phases of who I am without this person. Who am I without my eating disorder? It's a shedding process. But grief is good in so many ways. Is it sad? Yes. Is it sorrowful? Yes. But it's a cleansing. It's a relief. It's a surrender. It's a detachment from this awful thing or a detachment from this horrible relationship, this disordered self. This must happen as a part of the recovery process. Center for Discovery and Eating Disorder Treatment says, researchers have actually concluded that letting go of an eating disorder is deemed the same as losing a loved one. Giving up something that you controlled and you're now super vulnerable because you don't have it, it's like losing a part of you, because it is. Except she's not really you. But we'll get back to that. Elizabeth Ross proposed in 1969 the five stages of grief. When we let go of something that has been such an emotional experience, this happens in every single one of us. We have so many different feelings. It's like a whirlwind, a combustion of emotions. And stages can occur in different orders. But we all go through five different stages. First, I just want to share with you that this part of the shedding process is so important, but the hardest part of healing is finding who you are and being open to what that means. It's literally like a toddler learning to walk again, or a girl that just got out of an abusive relationship learning to love again. Grief gets a negative rap, but there are two main components. The first one is the loss of the thing. The loss of the comfort of the disorder, the loss of the dysfunctional relationship, the loss of what you wanted it to be when reality was it was never going to be that. And the second component is the creation of something spectacular. The space of something completely brand new. This is why you will find a whirlwind of emotion when you're trying to get out of this. Because grief reveals who you are. But you must fight to find that. Okay, so let's talk about the five stages. The first one is denial. This is where you're really blocking out all emotions, all feelings. You don't want to face reality. You try to rationalize, I'm just not that sick. Or maybe I thought I was. Or I really wish my mom or my friend or my husband would stop telling me that this is such an issue. I'm so frustrated with myself. At least I'm functioning. I'm fine. Everything's fine. This is the denial zone. This is what I actually did in that crazy relationship. Oh my gosh, he's such a good guy. I don't know what you're talking about. Everything is fine. We have such a good relationship, right? It's like this lie you're trying to tell yourself because deep down in your heart, you know it's a disaster, but you're super scared to let it go. I mean, who would you be without it, right? That's exactly like this disorder. The second phase is anger. And sometimes I see clients come with anger later on in the recovery journey because they start getting really irritated and angry that this has taken up so many years of their life. But you can have different forms of anger. Anger at everyone else because they keep telling you that you have a problem and you're determined that you don't. So you're still in that denial. Or you can be angry at yourself. Angry that you've done this to yourself, which creates that shame, which creates a cycle of destruction. You can be angry at the disorder because it just took so much out of you. You can be angry that you feel out of control. You can be angry because you don't want to be without the disorder, but deep down, you know it's what's best. The third stage is bargaining. These are all the food rules. When you get super aware of what you've been doing for so long and you're out of denial and you've processed some of this, you're gonna sit and think about all those crazy rules that you feel are your truth, wondering if recovery is really for you. Bargaining comes from the desire to control. Should I have stayed in the disorder longer? Was it really that bad? Should I have gotten help sooner? Am I sure that I'm on the right path? Is she sure that she knows what she's talking about? I don't know. Is this for me? All of these things are bargaining. And that's because you're feeling this release of control slipping from your fingertips and you're gripping to get it back. But sis, this is a good thing. The very thing you're trying to control is controlling you. And newsflash, that's never gonna end well. The fourth stage is depression. This is where sadness hits. Sadness with the loss that this thing that kept me safe, this thing that I was in control of, I'm actually losing. The loss of who am I without my disorder? And what does that mean for me in the future of my life? The fear. And then you start questioning your worth, questioning your belief. And if you're not careful, this is where discouragement and doubt come in, and they try to take you down really quick. But if you hang on a little bit tighter, you will find that with every single action you take to face the fear and do it anyways, every extra bite, every snack, every step in the right direction, you're going to get to the fifth stage, the final stage. This is the stage of acceptance. And this, my friend, this is learning to release what was so that you can embrace what's coming. This is how you experience life with healthy coping skills. Expressing your true reality and focusing on where you're going instead of sitting with the mess and disaster that's been up to this point. See, it's okay to mourn what made you feel safe. And today, maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to figure out what part of this process you're at. Am I in denial? Am I super mad? Maybe I'm not mad yet. I'm just depressed. I'm bargaining. Maybe I'm all of it. Okay, great. This is a whirlwind and it's a natural part of the recovery process. You're creating a new version of you. You are creating the best version of you. And that's going to require pruning and molding and shedding all the parts that are no longer serving you. I want you to think about, how has your eating disorder served you? How has your eating disorder been a safe place for you? Honor that. My eating disorder, it protected me from hanging out with the wrong crowd. It protected me from getting straight A's in school because I sat at home and I did nothing but study to avoid eating. That's not to be triggering. That's just to show you the truth that in that time in my life, the way that I coped with things I couldn't control was I tried to control my food. And it served me because it felt safe to me and it kept me from going down disastrous paths. What I didn't know at the time is I was on a disastrous path. And in order to release that, I had to go through these extreme ups and downs and all arounds because I had to shed that false sense of self, that self that was making those bad behavioral choices, that self that kept going back to the ex-boyfriend because I didn't think I deserved better. And I had to put one foot in front of the other and I had to mourn, I had to grieve, I had to go through these stages. And then I had to get real with how it has harmed me. And I want you to do the same. How has this disorder harmed you? What has it taken from you? And then sit with you and bury it. Bury your disorder. Not deep down in your heart, not deep down in your soul. Bury it far away from you because it's no longer going to be coming where you're going. And do one thing that sparks light into your life this week. One thing. When I think about the Easter weekend that we just came off of, and I think about the privilege it is to be here, knowing how much I put my body through, how much I put my family through, how much I put the people that I loved closest to me through, and I've been able to come out on the other side. I think about you, girl. I think about your ability to do the exact same thing. And I also think about the crucifixion and the resurrection that so many of us just celebrated. I think about how God sent his son for you and for me to hang on the cross. And the least thing that I can do is to recognize that I have another day to fill my body with food and my lungs with oxygen, and I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna honor it. My scars, maybe they weren't physical, but they do tell a story from my past. And they remind me now of when life tried to take me down, but failed. Sis, what do your scars tell you? Because you're stronger than the heaviness. You're stronger than the weight that's on your shoulders right now. You're stronger than the emotional roller coaster. And if you allow yourself to go through it, what you will realize is that grief reveals who you are, and you must fight to find you. Sis, I hope you have such an amazing week. I can't wait to talk with you on Thursday. Going out to the private Facebook community, herbestselfsociety.com. I want to hang out with you over there. And I'm going to be on spring break this week, chillaxing with my kiddos and my hubby. But I want to read messages from you. I'd love for you to shoot me an email and just say, hey, Lindsay, I'm loving the show. Or to go out and rate it on Apple Podcasts. Every single time you do that, you bring in more listeners to this show and more ladies just like you into the community. Sis, know that you're not alone today and that you are worth all the good things. I'm rooting for you and I hope you have such a great first day of April. Bye for now. Oh, friend, thank you so much for letting me share what was on my heart today. My hope for this podcast is to help more women find freedom from food and body. If this has empowered or blessed you, let me know. I'd be honored for your rating and review of my show, and I'd love to connect with you in my private Facebook community. You really can move from perfection to purpose. Let's break the chains together. I'll help navigate the way. Until next time, bye for now, girl.